You're listening to a sermon from the Open Door Lafayette. If by God's grace you find these sermons encourage your walk with and your love of Jesus, would you please consider giving to the Open Door? You can learn more about us, next steps, as well as how to give at theopendoorla.org.
Father God, we come before you this morning. So thankful that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And that he overcame sin and death. And that he rules and reigns in victory. And Father, we're reminded that we have victory in Christ. Because of his finished work. And so Father, we praise your holy name. That you loved us so much. That you would send your only begotten Son. That if we would believe in him, if we would trust in him, we would be delivered from the power of darkness, and we would be translated into the kingdom of God, and your light would shine upon us, and that the victory that we have in Christ would glorify you and give you praise and honor and glory. So, Father, we thank you. We lift you up this morning. We exalt your holy name. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise that you so richly deserve. And, Father, we ask that you would just abide with us. As praises go up, Father, your blessings would come down, that we would be fully satisfied in Christ and in Christ alone. And so, Father, we thank you. We ask you to have your way this morning as we continue to glorify you and give you praise and exalt the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord and that he is Lord of all. And so, Father, have your way. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, good morning and welcome again. It's good to see everyone this morning. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord with family and friends and loved ones and guests. If you are visiting for the very first time, we welcome you to the Open Door, and we're so thankful to have you here this morning so that we can demonstrate what we've learned about the love of God. And that is, if and when you have his love, you can't keep it to yourself. You must share it with somebody. We're so thankful to be able to share God's love with you. I hope you feel his presence and his love this morning. As we take a moment to just jump into our sermon for this morning, I'd like to begin by just sharing a thought or a meditation for us as we think about our life in Christ, and as we think about, you know, that day we made that decision to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we knew that there was something that we needed to do. We needed to make a choice. We needed to surrender to him and receive his free gift of salvation because we couldn't do it for ourselves. And I hope everyone here today, if you have not made that decision, that you would choose to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. But I will tell you that when you do that, we become a peculiar people. And a part of what that means is that it's not always going to be easy, that there's going to be some challenges, that we're going to be trying to figure it out. But we're so thankful that we have Christ as our Lord to lead us through it. And so I just want to spend some time this morning talking about the good work in you, and remind us that we're not left alone, that even though, you know, we have this struggle, we wrestle, you know, Paul talked about that wrestling within, that sometimes it just feels like, yeah, we know we've made the decision to accept Christ, but we keep doing the things of the world, and there can be this struggle to where we can feel, not truly feel it on the inside. And maybe you've had this thought of, I'm such a failure that God can never use me. That we look at our past and we think there's all these struggles, and even when we come to Christ, we still may have that time of struggling, of missing the mark, of making mistakes. And we understand in our head that it's not about that, that God has forgiven us for all of that, but sometimes we, you know, it's hard to truly, you know, believe that. And so I'd like to take a moment today, you know, just talk about this struggle within, you know, talk about these things that, you know, seems like we keep missing it sometimes. And so if you would turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 2 through 6, with the title of the message today, A Good Work in You. A good work in you. And here is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Philippi in verse 2 through 6. He said, there's grace unto you, as he was beginning his letter, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. That he's praying for you. He's praying for us. And it's a joyful prayer before the Lord. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing. That he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your engrafted word that's able to save, deliver, and set free. Father, we're so thankful that Jesus neither sleeps nor slumbers, that we can have confidence in him, that he's begun this good work, and that God is reminding us that he is faithful to complete it. And so, Father, we ask you to have your way this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. And so let me share a little bit more of the background here. As Paul is writing from being in prison, he's writing this letter to a church that's have been started for a few years, and they're growing in their faith, and he so desires to write a letter of encouragement, but also a letter of correction, to correct them to continue to allow God to complete the work of sanctification and transformation in them. That it's a process of the work that God is moving us from faith to faith, glory to glory. And also in the backdrop of this letter is that there are those that are sharing the gospel, they're even preaching and teaching, but in their Christian walk, they are imperfect. Anybody ever been there? They're having moments of struggle. They're sinning. They're making mistakes. And they're in the same season sharing, preaching, teaching. You ever just been there where you felt unworthy to be able to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You felt unworthy to give of the good news because you're going through some things and you're wrestling with this sin and these things in your life. Well, this is kind of what's happening with them. But what's so astonishing is that this sinful behavior is just the opposite of the way the gospel itself would instruct and lead a person to act. So they're hearing, they're even sharing, but they're struggling in their walk. They're walking opposite of it. It's like they're saying one thing but doing another. It's like there's some double-mindedness going on. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so there's this unstableness. I don't know about you, but I've been there, and I felt that. And there can be a grieving within the spirit, within our heart, a grieving to bring us to conviction, and bring us to transformation. And so they're preaching the gospel and then contradicting it in their very motives and actions. the very gospel that they are preaching. And so it can be kind of shocking, right? Where we'll want to be like, you don't do that. But so often it can be easier said than done. See, actually, none of us are perfect. Righteous, yes, but not perfect in our motives and actions. There's still this walking it out and wrestling with it. And so God uses imperfect people like Paul and like Peter, the very Peter that said he would never betray Jesus. And Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. But see, Jesus wanted him to know that he would never leave him nor forsake him. That he would encourage him, he would pray for him, he would be with him. And so maybe we can identify with this a little bit. And you and I can allow the Holy Spirit, allow the Word of God to speak to us in such a way that there would be an earnest desire to bring about the perfect will of God in our lives. So look at what Paul states in Romans 7, verse 22 through 25. He wants to remind us that he's been there, that he's going through it a little bit. He says this in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." He's talking about it a little bit, how this flesh can get enraged and it can struggle and fight against the spirit. He went on to say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" See, he'd been delivered. He'd come to Christ and was saved. And he has salvation. He has this eternal salvation. But now this struggle going on the inside with the flesh. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." See, I found out that before I was saved, when I was in the world, I had a moral compass, but there wasn't this tug and this pull going on the inside. See, I could kind of rationalize it before Christ. Anybody ever been there? You told yourself a rational lie. But in Christ, there was something on the inside of me that wrestled with that behavior, that wrestled with that flesh, that wanted to do what it wanted to do. And so Paul is talking about that. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So he's making this statement, asking the question, which one are we going to serve? Which one are we going to walk in? That there's a war going on. The war is not so much on the outside, but on the inside. And that God just doesn't want us to be saved, but he wants to be our Lord. That we would follow him and be obedient to him. That even Jesus Christ knew that there was a process of working it out. So there are two lessons here that we can grasp from what Paul is mentioning to the church of Philippi. We can rejoice that God can override him being in prison and our poor motives and actions to advance his gospel through our imperfections. That God is greater than that. That he's able to use imperfect people to bring about his perfect will. And that others would see those imperfections and see God moving over all of them. That he's able to transform us from the inside out. That he's able to do the impossible. That we would be able to sing and rejoice, what's impossible for God? There's nothing impossible for him. He can take a wretch like me and a wretch like you and transform us into the image of his dear son. He can make the impossible possible. And that next lesson that we can learn, that the work of God in you and I is not complete. We're complete in our being redeemed from this world, being in salvation, where when he looks at us, he sees perfect righteousness. But the work of sanctification is still not complete. But we can be confident in the one who's doing the work. If you trust in him and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. He'll walk you through the trips and the snares of this world. See, look what Philippians 2 verse 13 says. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. See, that to will is to have the want to. See, I believe that's the after we accept Christ, that's the first thing that God wants to work on is our want to. To get us in the right mind and the right heart. Because when we hear that stuff about suffering, we go, I don't want to do that. When we hear those words about obedience, we go, that's too hard. So he's working on our want to. Will we let him work on our want to and to do for his good pleasure? That we wouldn't do what we want to do, but what he wants to do. That it wouldn't be our will, but it'd be his will. That our want to would be to follow what his will to. So how do we allow God's work to be completed in us? I'd like to share three things with you today, just to kind of give you some things to hold on to meditate on, to think about, and how to allow a good work to be completed in you. And so those three things I think will just bless us and allow us to be reminded and walk in the way that God has called us to walk, and not to be condemning ourselves and beating ourselves up, but when you fall, get back up. When that knee hits the ground, start talking to the Lord first. And say, help my unbelief. Help my want to. Help me to walk it out. And so those three that I'd like to share with you today is that we grow in our identity. Who we are, who truly we are in Christ. To grow in our purpose. That we would understand the purpose and the plans of God for us. And that we would grow in our practice. That we would walk it out. That we would step forward in him. Allow him to direct our path. The first one, to grow in our identity. This is so essential and so important for the children of God to know that they know that they know who they belong to. Who they are. If you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, and we were actually singing this today. It says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear sons. See, that we were not only dead in our trespasses and sins, we were not only in darkness, but there was a power over us that binded us and that we could not be freed from in and of ourselves. We were slaves to it. We were dead. And God sent Jesus Christ to deliver us, to break the chains, to set us free, but also to move us out of that darkness into his marvelous light, into his kingdom. See, our positions changed. We became alive in Christ, and we left the darkness of this world, the brokenness of this world, the death of this world, and we were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, that translated means transferred, moved. You're no longer in darkness. You're no longer enslaved by the sins of this world. You're no longer captured by Satan and his demons. But you have been set free, and who the Son has set free is free indeed. See, we have to get this not just in our mind, but in our hearts, embedded deep down within us. There's been a transference from death into not just life, not just living, but into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. See, we have become a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See, this describes the identity and the mission of God's people. See, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, God declares his covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai by declaring Israel will be the kingdom of priests. See, he's just giving us an example of what's to come through Israel, that we could see it in the scrolls. But he didn't just stop there. We see Peter talking about it in 1 Peter 2:9. Well, he applies it to the church as the new people of God who are called to proclaim his praises and show his goodness in the world. That we're no longer of this world. We might still be in it, but make no mistake about it, we're no longer of this world. And that when we know who we are, we're going to act differently. We're going to behave differently. We're going to respond differently. See, look what 1 Peter 2:9 says. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. See, you're not supposed to be like everybody else. You're not supposed to behave like everybody else, because that ain't who you belong to. That we should show forth the praises of him. See, that we would show forth that we know who we are. We know whose we are. Who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And see, when you're in darkness, you can't see nothing. You're bumping into everything. Everybody crashing into everything, destroying everything around them. But when you come in light, man, you're able to see. You're able to know you ain't supposed to go down that way. You already know what's down there. It ain't nothing good. Because you know that you know who you are, you know that that's not your way, that you're to follow his way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So be who you're called to be who you are in Christ. Show why you praise him. Don't let it just be a praise on Sunday, but show up on Monday. Be there on Tuesday. Walk with him on Wednesday. Speak to him on Thursday. turn away from the world on Friday. And when Saturday come, prepare to see him more and more on Sunday. Because he has done a great work and is doing a great work in you. See, the challenges that we see, what we struggle with is we forget who we are. We get caught up in the things of this world and we forget. See, James talked about that in James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. He says this, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, looks into what the Lord has delivered him from, set him free, translated him into the kingdom, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See, that word blessed means fully satisfied. He can walk it out. Even in this dark world, he said, well, this is not my home anyway. I'm all right. It's falling down around me, but this ain't my home. This is not who I am. This is a temporary state. So, saints of God, don't forget who you are. Your identity in Christ is vital to your walk in Christ. When I remember who I am, my flesh can't just do anything. I walk in who I am. Remember, you're the called, the elect of God. You've been set apart from this world. See, Romans 8:28 reminds us of this. And we are now all, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. That leads me to the next point. And how to allow a good work to be completed in you. It's also to grow in our purpose. Our understanding of our purpose and the plans that God has. And so turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. I mentioned a few weeks ago that Timothy was a student of Paul and that Paul was pouring into Timothy and Paul was going to be soon to be martyred and killed, and he wanted Timothy to be reminded, stay purposeful, stay following God. Trusting him. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says this, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. See, it's so important that we remember that there's such a holy calling on our life. That God just didn't leave you here for no reason. That each and every one of us have a purpose. That we've been set apart for such a work in such a time as this. You know, God is so strategic that he knew the appointed time, the season, the boundaries of your habitation, and he planned each and every one of you to be here at this appointed time and this appointed place to show forth his glory. So what purpose? I know y'all asking that. Look at 2 Timothy verse 1:8. And I know sometimes we don't like to hear this. To be partakers of the afflictions of Christ. Somebody should have shouted about that one. Glory! To be partakers of the afflictions of Christ. Because see, something happens when you got some afflictions going on. Something happens when there's some tension. There's some pressing. See, in those afflictions, see, something shows up. It shows whether or not we love God. It shows whether or not we love others. God uses those situations, those circumstances, and those afflictions to not only allow us, but others to see his love, his immeasurable love for us, and his love for the whole world. Let me say it like this. You ever been going through something? And you're struggling, and you feel like folks beating you up, and they're coming against you. Do you know at that time when folks are coming through you, that's when the most eyes are on you? When folks are watching how you're going to respond. When they're watching what you're going to do. And I had a couple friends before, I ain't giving no names, that may say that they made statements like, I ain't been saved always. Don't mess with me. So they responded. See, folks are watching through those afflictions. What's going to be our response? See, it's so important that we know the purpose and the plans that God has for us. Why we truly still here. So when those times come, we respond the right way. Let me help somebody a little bit. Turn with me to Proverbs 16:3. See, one of our theme passages speak to this growing in our purpose. It says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Our thoughts shall be firmly rooted and grounded in Christ. When we commit everything that we do, everything that we are to the Lord, that in him we move and breathe and have our being, our thoughts will have a firm foundation. And then our thoughts that turns to actions will be based on a firm foundation. And those actions that turn into habits will be based on a firm foundation. And before you know it, we're walking out the purpose and the plans that he has for us. We're responding in a way like Christ would respond. Just as Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. I give you my work, my will, my want to. I give it over to you, Lord, in every situation, in every circumstance, because I understand my purpose. Our thoughts have a firm foundation of why am I doing this? And not, I don't know why I'm doing this. Why do I keep coming, showing up, being faithful? It's because even my thoughts about it all are growing in this firm foundation that is Christ. That he thought it not robbery to be equal with man. That he made of himself no reputation. That he humbled himself. That he was willing to sacrifice and go to the cross and die for each and every one of us. See, he knew his purpose. Are we willing to do the same? See, we've been purposed to suffer with Christ, to be obedient to his leading as our Lord, and to have that agape love, to follow those, that great command to love God and to love others no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the condition is. And you know, that's hard for our flesh. And so out of these purposes, knowing that this is not our home, that we're purposed here for the afflictions of Christ, that we're purposed here to love God in the midst of it all, that we trust him, that we love him, that we're purposed here to love others. And sometimes that's not going to be easy. But it's what we're made and what we're built to do. So out of these purposes of God, we find ourselves in different walks of life. We find ourselves in different jobs and businesses and ministries to bring about these very purposes. That Christ would be glorified. Not we ourselves, but as they got the binoculars and they're looking, they would see Christ in you. The hope of it all. They would see Christ being worked out and formed in you. They would see that you know who you are, that you know whose you are, that you know the plans and the purposes that he has for you, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that you're standing on a firm foundation. And that you would let him grow mightily in you. The third point. Of how to allow a good work to be completed in you. It's to grow in our practice. See, we got to practice it. Anybody here that's ever played a sport or activity, you try to get out there and you just start playing the game, it ain't gonna go very well. You got to put some practice in. You got to put some work in. My boys used to say that all the time. It's like, oh, Dad, I know how to do that. And then when I would dunk on them, you know, it's an 8-foot goal. They this big, so they, to them it's, when their dad would dunk on them, they're like, how you do that? It's like, I've been practicing, son. So we grow in our practice. Grow out of practice. So here's the key. We have to grow out of practice of the old and grow in practice of the new life. You got to grow out of practice of the old. Stop doing the same old thing, expecting a different result. It don't work like that. Look what Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24 says. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. You got to put it off. You got to catch them loose lips. You got to catch them thoughts. Say, wait a minute, no, that ain't me. Let me put that off. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You hear that? See, lust is deceitful. The flesh kind of lust. Let me correct that. Because that word lust means to have a strong desire. We should lust after righteousness. But what he's talking about is this fleshly lust. It can be deceitful. In other words, it's tricky. It ain't showing the whole story. It looks pleasurable for a season, but it's trying to destroy us. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, there's a washing. I always try to be transparent, but I'm going to be transparent. Which there was a time in my life that I almost never thought that this mind would be renewed. I mean, anybody has some just junk in your mind, and that junk just wouldn't go away. It just like it's just there. But when I start bringing it unto captivity to Christ, not allowing it to just run rampant, start filling it up. There's a law of replacement. You have to fill it up with the Word of God. Fill it up with righteousness. And if you do some studies on the mind, this container can only contain so much. And so as you put on righteousness, guess what got to go? That unrighteousness falls away. It's being put off. And so we fill it up. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, it's created after him. So you're not doing this work in yourself. As you're allowing God to pour inside of you, it's truly him that's coming on the inside. So you're getting the mind of Christ. You're getting the mind of righteousness. You're starting to think differently. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so practice putting off this world, the deceitful lust. It makes us think it is good, but it's not, when it's actually bad. And so turn with me to Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23. As we're putting on this new man, we have to practice walking in the Spirit. Okay? And Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tells us the fruit, the result of this walking in the Spirit. It's allowing the spirit man to be stronger than the fleshly. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I had someone share with me recently that they're struggling in some of these things. See, it's so important for us to be reminded that there's a walk with Christ. That these things just don't come just one day. It's a process. And so as we allow ourselves to love like Christ, to have joy, it becomes more and more of who we are. So we must practice putting on and practice walking in these things. So how do you do that? With opportunities, going back to what I mentioned before, with opportunities to suffer, the afflictions of Christ, through it and for it. See, sometimes we're so shocked and we're like blown away by why things happen in our life. It's so we can walk it out, so we can practice it, so we can get better at it. See, biblical good works encompass every aspect of our thinking and conduct before God. Not just what we do, but it starts with the thought. It's every aspect of our walking with him. It is an exercise of strengthening our heart. That we're getting a new heart. And with that new heart, that heart is now starting to grow in the things of God. It's being strengthened to have joy when everything around you says not to? When everything looks like you should be mad and having a mean mugging face. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's not talking about being fake. But joy is a word that comes out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. The mouth smiles. What's in the heart? When we get to a point that we understand that this world is doing what it's doing, and our joy is not predicated on what the world does, what it's doing, we must be willing to carry some weight. See, in this practicing, one of the things I realized that in this puny body of mine, for me to be able to lift more, I needed to lift more. For me to get stronger, I needed to put some weight on the bar. I needed to carry it a little bit. See, these fruit that I shared are going to feel heavy at times. See, to have joy when everything and everyone in your life says not to, when you first are encountering it, can be heavy. And maybe for those first days you crying and you boo-hooing and you upset and all this, and then you remember. That he's there. That he's able. And joy comes rushing in. And then the next time it happens, it's 2 days you frustrated, you upset, you grumbling, your wife saying, stop it. And you stop it. And then the next time is one day. And then maybe the next time weeping may endure for a night. But joy comes in the morning. And then hopefully you get to a place where it's a continual joy. It's a continual peace. Long-suffering, to show kindness when nobody is showing it back. But if you never pick it up, if you never carry it, if your response is, if they treat me like that, I'm gonna treat them, you're constantly giving it back. And not carrying it, you'll never get stronger. It's so important that we practice what we preach. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, but the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while. See, it's just, it ain't forever. It's for a little while. Make us perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He settles you, strengthens you, gives you a firm foundation. That before you know it, you look. And this transformation process, this sanctification process, the things that you struggled with before, they ain't as big of a struggle. See, we will all see the evidence of God's persistence in our lives. He never stops. If we allow his grace and peace to establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. Don't try to get it from the world, but from him. His persistence we'll work these things out. Whatever you may have been struggling with, give it over to him. His persistence of so desiring a good work in you. See, let me share that in my final thoughts. See, as his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:8, so often we read this passage and we think, you know, yeah, he's created us to do good works, and that's an aspect of it. But also what this passage is saying, for we are his workmanship. We're his art. We're his molding. We're his developing. We're his good work. See, that word good is a word of harmony and of peace, a word of unity, of completeness. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them internally, in our innermost being, and we should walk in them externally. The essential work is not all the work we can do outwardly, but the good work that he inwardly does. We are his workmanship. So rejoice that God can override prison and poor motives and bad habits to advance the kingdom of God, to use imperfect people, to bring about his perfect plan, and to show the might of him. But value the truth of the gospel and the work of God, to continue to do the good work in you. See, I love this passage in Romans 8:31. They say, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for you, who can be against you? See, his for you is always good, never bad. His for you is always his perfect workmanship to be created in you. That whatever you're going through, whatever the trial, whatever the tribulation, whatever the sin, God is faithful and just to complete it. Let him do the complete finished work. Don't resist. To the day of Jesus Christ. And when you see Jesus Christ face to face, he'll have this big old smile on his face. He'll have joy. He'll wrap his arm around you. He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You let me do the good work in you. Amen.